The bombing of Pearl Harbor happened against a complicated backdrop in Hawaii. Waves of immigration had changed society considerably, and by the 1940s, the influx of military personnel were a big part of that.
Starting way back in 1898, when the Hawaiian Islands were annexed by the United States, and actually even before that, Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu was recognized as probably one of the best harbors in the Pacific.
DeSoto Brown, historian with the Bishop Museum.
The United States military realized this is going to be a very crucial sort of linchpin to control of the Pacific.
With annexation, the military in Hawaii gained access to land. This is how they came to control 23% of the land on Oahu.
Jonathan Okamura, professor of ethnic studies, UH Manoa.
Through annexation, they took over the land that Republic of Hawaii ceded to the U.S. when Hawaii became a territory.
Starting in 1908, the U.S. built a series of forts along Oahu's south shore, Ruger, DeRussy, Armstrong, and Kamehameha, just as military development of Pearl Harbor sped up.
By the late 1930s, Schofield Barracks in central Oahu was the biggest army base anywhere in the country, which is astonishing, and Pearl Harbor was this huge naval base.
Meanwhile, Okamura says Hawaii was still very much a sugar plantation society, and thousands of Japanese workers had been imported since 1885.
In general, for local Japanese, there was the anti-Japanese movement. Yeah, it was intended to subordinate them, to keep them on the plantations.
Who was utilizing that?
The military, the territorial government, the planters.
Okamura points to a sort of systemic suppression involving, for example, employment laws, like one that prohibited aliens from public works jobs. Okamura says even the education system was part of the effort.
In the public schools, the curriculum is directed to vocational education, farming, agriculture, or domestic service. But one of the more obvious examples of the attacks against Japanese in Hawaii, the efforts to close the Japanese language schools.
Increasing restrictions on those schools were eventually declared unconstitutional.
Japanese were viewed very differently from Filipinos. With Filipinos and Hawaiians, you get the biologically based racism, that they're born inferior. Whites, of course, viewed themselves as biologically superior to everyone else in Hawaii, including Portuguese, who were technically white too, right? But the holy fear of Japanese was that they weren't biologically inferior because they had demonstrated this ability to organize very large strikes. And that was the fear that Hawaiians had, that this very large population would be able to cripple the main industry of the islands.
The Japanese military, meanwhile, was defying expectations by taking Manchuria and openly attacking China. By summer of 1941, French Indochina had fallen. U.S. military presence, meanwhile, was ramping up on Oahu. There were well-publicized war games, and there was talk nationally about a possible Japanese attack. Practice blackouts were held across the territory in 1939, 40, and 41.
Nearly 40% of the population here is Japanese. If Japan starts a war, who are they going to support?
Historian DeSoto Brown says Japanese were so entrenched in society, removing them was unworkable. In addition, there simply wasn't enough building material to construct camps.
And then there wasn't enough room, and there wasn't transportation enough to physically move everybody either. So Plan B was, well, since we can't segregate them out and put them all under control, we have to put everybody under control.
The military was ready. The U.S. Navy fleet had been moved to Pearl Harbor, along with the Pacific Command. According to plans developed over a decade earlier, martial law was imposed on Hawaii the same day of the bombing, December 7, 1941.
Even when Pearl Harbor was attacked, not everybody in the USA really knew what this place was or, wait, is that part of the country? What? People in the USA were very aware of this tropical paradise of the Hawaiian Islands. They were very aware that that was where people surfed, that was where hula dancers were, that there were palm trees. They had that picture because that had been in movies and there were Hawaiian music broadcasts on the radio. They knew about that, but they didn't know that it was this heavily militarized area that was an outpost of United States power in the Pacific, and that's why Japan attacked it.
Next week, we'll look at what that attack did to the social fabric in Hawaii and the legacy of Japanese internment that holds particular relevance today. Noe Tanigawa, HPR News.